So again, just a huge word of thanks to our praise team, to all of our members for just helping to record this. If you're interested in helping and participating, we'd love to have you be a part of this. Again, we are kind of making this work in the best situation that we can with the best thing that God's given to us, and that's just our service. And so if you're interested, just hit me up and let me know, and we'd love to have you be a part of what we are creating here. But before we get started into our message, let me go ahead and pray and just kind of settle our hearts and settle our minds. So, Father, again, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for just gathering us here that we can just sing out songs, that we can declare your goodness, that we can declare who it is that you are through music. And as we dive into your word here, as we prepare our hearts to see what it is that you have in store, again, would you allow your Holy Spirit to rest upon me? Would you allow me to speak your words and to speak your truth? And if it not be from you, again, would you remove it? Would you allow people to discern that this is not from you and to continue to see who it is that you are in your inerrant scripture and your Bible? Would you continue to reveal yourself to us? But Father, again, would you allow us just to lean into who it is that you are, to lean into your word, and just to continue to dive into who it is that you are, who it is that you've continued to be. And just the God who continues to love us regardless of what we do, regardless of how bad we may be, that you continue to seek after us and you continue to rescue us. So again, God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the capabilities, again, that we are able to meet digitally and to worship in this method and just continue to praise you and look forward to the day that we can gather together as believers, as people, as Christians, as Christ followers, as disciple-making people who just want to praise you, that we can gather together physically and just worship you with all that we have. So we do these, we pray these all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let me pull up a couple of things here. There we go. So let me start off with just kind of pointing out some particular stats about cell phones in case if you've not been on yours for the last 24 hours a day, for the last 7 days a week, and probably here for the next 24 hours a day, for the next 7 days. But it's kind of interesting. If you look at the top selling smartphones of all time, you might be kind of surprised to see which phones make it on the list. I originally thought when I was looking this up that this would be all Apple and maybe a couple Android phones, but it's kind of surprising. So let me kind of go through a couple ones that stand out. So in the number nine spot is the Samsung S4. This came back out, I think, oh, I didn't copy a year for this one, so I don't know when this came out, but the S4, again, we're on the 10 now, so maybe subtract 6 years, so back in 2014, give or take. So that's the number nine spots. The next one here is the Motorola Razr, and not the new touchscreen fancy one that we're talking about, but the original one back in 2004. That takes the number six spot in terms of number of units sold. And the one that wasn't too surprising here was back in 2015. This is the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus. They kind of grouped those together. And that was back in 2015. That takes the number two spot. But the one that's probably most surprising of all is that the other seven spots, all seven of these, and let me make this a little bit bigger so you can guys can see kind of all of what's going on here. The other seven spots here, aside from number nine, number six, and number two, all seven other phones belong to Nokia. That's crazy, right? Out of the top 10 selling phones of all time to this date, seven of them belong to a company that we don't really think about anymore. You see, back in 1998, Nokia was the biggest name in mobile phones. In fact, they were the number one seller of the entire world. Of all brands everywhere, Nokia was number one. And in fact, the number one phone that I listed there, that's the Nokia 1100, which was created back in 2003 and sold over 250 million units. The next one down from that, the iPhone 6, that's 230. They sold 20 million more units than the iPhone did. But crazy enough, 6 years later, Nokia's market value drops 90%. And then just a few years after that, their company is just bought out entirely by Microsoft. It's insane to see such a juggernaut of a company go from the highest star to burnout in less than a decade. For us today, it would be like saying in 10 years, Apple or Google would just be gone, right? It's not impossible, but it's just hard for us to imagine such big companies disappearing from existence. And yet, the rise and fall of Nokia is still today one of the studied case things that business management classes look at, because it's an example of what you should not do when you want your company to survive and thrive in a changing market. Like we today, we can look back and see the decisions they made, the mentalities they had, and everything they did, and the mistakes that they were making, and how we can learn from that. And today, we are in the midst of COVID-19, right? We are in this rise of COVID-19, and we have no idea when it will fall. But I think we can look at this pandemic, we can look at COVID-19 and see that there are many lessons and reminders that we can take away from it. And the first one that I want to cover here is that life is fragile, right? This epidemic has affected 86% of countries all around the world. 86% of countries and really territories is how they're qualifying some of these. So, I'm sorry, 84.6% of countries and territories across the entire world. And the sad number that we have to report here is that as of this morning, it was the last time I checked it, there are 683,525 people who have been infected, and unfortunately, 32,139 lives have been taken. You see, COVID-19 doesn't care what race you are. It doesn't care what religion you believe in. It doesn't care what gender you are, how much money you make, what political party you're a part of, what sports team you cheer for, or what kind of music you like. COVID-19 has affected all of us equally. It is a reminder to us of how little control we have in our lives and how little control we have over life itself. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that there's no hope. I'm not saying that there's nothing we can do to fight against this. Again, even now, as we are doing this message digitally, it's in hopes that we can help flatten the curve, right? That's the term that's being thrown around. But even then, this idea of flattening the curve, the idea here isn't that we would stop COVID-19 from getting everywhere. The idea is really that we're slowing down the infection rate so that our hospitals and our healthcare system doesn't get overwhelmed. That more people can recover when they get COVID-19. And again, this is absolutely what we should be doing. I'm not by any means saying that just we should go out and just enjoy and just do whatever we want. No, we should be abiding by what our government and our leaders are telling us. But this doesn't change the fact that our life is fragile. And the Bible points to this all the same way too. It tells us that life is fragile. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, it tells us that same story. In Psalms 103:15, it reads, "As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more." I chose for the picture for this title of this one that it was a dandelion, and you could see the petals blowing off of it. Again, I remember when I was younger, I could go over and I could see a dandelion. I would pick it up and blow it off because it was fun. But even when I didn't find those, or even when I could, I wanted to do that because you never knew when you were going to see it again. Right? And that's the idea that this psalmist has in mind, that when you see a flower, whether it's a dandelion or you see a sunflower or you see a lily or whatever it may be, you see it one day and you don't know whether it will be there tomorrow. And this is continued even in the New Testament. Again, James chapter 4:14, it reads, "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears a little time and then vanishes." All right, it's not really cold in Houston. We got a cold front this morning, so it's kind of nice waking up and it's being 50s again, but we'll see how long that lasts. But when it was cold enough that when you could go outside and you breathe your breath and you could see it up here in front of you, like it was gone within seconds, right? You no longer saw the breath that you breathed. And that's what James is telling us here, that when you breathe, when your breath escapes from you, that's how little time we are here, and then it vanishes. But besides these two verses, I wanted to look at a different psalm, Psalm 90 more specifically, because while it tells us the same principle, while it reminds us that our life is fragile, it also tells us what we can do, how we can rejoice in this. And in the superscription of Psalms 90, it says that this is a prayer of Moses. And if this is the case, and nobody really has any reason to doubt it, it just, again, as the Psalms write, it says this is a prayer of Moses. This would make this the oldest psalm in the Bible. In the first six verses, Moses compares how God is eternal and that how we as humans were finite. And specifically, he mentions that in verses 3 and 4. In 3, it says, "You return man to dust and say, 'Return, O child of man.'" Again, that we as humans, we go from dust to dust. We are created and then we return to the ground. But then he compares that to God. "For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as you watch a night." Basically, as one night passes, that for like God is like 1,000 years. Because again, God is timeless. He doesn't experience days as we do, weeks as we do, years as we do. God sees everything at once. And he continues in this psalm. He says in verses 7 through 11, Moses develops that it's because of sin in the world that we are under God's wrath. And in verse 10, he tells us that even if our life is 70 or 80 years, our span is to toil and to trouble, that they are soon gone and we fly away, that our years here are short, and it is because of the sin that is in this world that we toil and trouble away at everything that we do. But then at the apex of the psalm, and probably the most popular verse that's quoted from Psalms 103, is in verse 12, and it tells us to teach us to number our days. Right? That we are to know that our days here on earth are limited. But what we're supposed to do with that is that we are to number the days, to know that our days are limited, in the hopes that we would get a heart of wisdom, that we would yearn for God's wisdom. Moses asks that in the short time of earth, that we should get this heart of wisdom, the steadfast wisdom from God, that we may rejoice in the days we have, because each one brings us closer to God's return. Right? And so that's the reason why that our life is fragile, and the reason why we rejoice in that fragileness, that we long for, that we seek after God's return. And I think that's the first thing that we are reminded of and taught through COVID-19, that no matter what we do, no matter how we proceed, our lives are fragile. And Christians who put their faith in God rejoice because we are just awaiting for his return. The second thing that I think we can learn from COVID-19 is that our hope is not here. It is not on this planet. Our hope ultimately is in Christ, is in Jesus. Now, again, I'm not saying this to say that because of COVID-19, we're all hopeless and that we're all going to die here on Earth right now, right? According even to an article by Stat News, it says otherwise, that several different treatments and different types of vaccines and antibodies and all kinds of different things, and many things are being proposed, and some of them are even hitting trial phase right now. And ultimately, again, their effectiveness is too early to tell, but they're making different ways, they're trying different ways to combat against COVID-19. And even on the floors today, our healthcare professionals are doing just an amazing job of fighting this virus. They are doing everything they can to keep people from bringing them from death and trying to prevent that and to bring them into recovery. And across the world, researchers are working around the clock to develop these new antivirals and vaccines so that we can better recover from all of this. But let's just give it that even if this was successful tomorrow, that tomorrow we had an antiviral, that we were able to cure COVID-19. As we just went over in the first point, our bodies are still fragile, COVID-19 or not. None of us can outrun death. So the one thing that we can do is to place our hope in the one who defeated death. And so how do we do this? How do we place our hope in Christ? And for that, I want to turn us to the book of Romans. See, Romans was written by the Apostle Paul, and it's one of the densest books of the New Testament. And some people have said that it's Paul's most important work because it so thoroughly lays out the foundations of Christianity. And eventually, I do want to do a series on Romans in the future, God willing, but we'll just wait and see when that time comes. But as of right now, I want us to walk through a few sections of Romans that summarize the book and tells us how our hope can be in Jesus. The first verse that I want to cover here is in chapter 3, verse 23. And it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Right? This verse reminds us that everyone is guilty of sin, that all of us have done something that has told God that we are against him, that no one is innocent of this, that there are no exclusions, there are no exceptions, there are no excuses. All of us have sinned, all of us has done wrong against God, and we are all short of his glory. The next verse that we can kind of read here as it develops this idea is that in verse 6, or I'm sorry, chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here we're told that again, the punishment for the sin that we all have is death. And this isn't just our physical bodies dying, but it's more importantly that this death is for all eternity. It is our souls that die away from God. But at the end of it, Paul tells us that there is a gift, a free gift of God that is eternal life, and that comes in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that brings us to the next point that he makes in chapter 5, verse 8, where it reads, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That again, in 3:23, it says that we are all guilty of sin. And in 6:23, it tells us that the penalty for that sin is death. But now it comes in 5:8, and it tells us that Jesus, who lived a perfect life, who was sinless, who was innocent, who was and is God, came and died on the cross for us, even though we were sinners. He died for us and took the penalty of that sin. He took the penalty of death on himself. And we learned that on the third day, he rose from the grave and defeated death and defeated sin. And so if you want to partake in this gift of eternal life, of what you hear of in chapter 6, then you do what it says in chapter 10, verse 9, where it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Again, chapter 10 tells us that we are to say out loud that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is King, that Jesus is my Savior. Not just your Savior, not his Savior, not their Savior, but he is my Savior, that he is each of our Saviors. But again, it specifies that it's not just about saying it, but it's also believing in your heart this as well. And there's a reason for this distinction. There's a reason why that there's a difference between believing that something is true and believing in something to be true. See, believing that is just knowing the facts. It's emotionless. I believe that you can pass the test. I believe that you're qualified for this position. I believe that you're capable. Those all tell us emotionless things that are just stating facts. I believe that you can do this. But when you say you believe in, you are putting your trust, you are putting your confidence, or how we would say it as Christ followers, you are putting your faith in Jesus. When your heart says, "I believe in you," you are telling Jesus that you trust him when he says that he is the way, the truth, and the light, and that no one goes and the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one goes to God and no one goes to the Father except through him. That you recognize that your confidence is in the only man to defeat the grave, to be risen from the dead. That your faith is in the only Son of God who steps between you and God. Who steps between you and God's wrath against sin, taking that upon himself. That's what it means when you say that your heart believes in Jesus. And then the final verse that goes through here is in chapter 10, verse 13. This, "For everyone who calls the name of the Lord will be saved." This walk through the book of Romans brings us all the way back to the main point that I was saying, that our hope is in Christ, that our hope is in Jesus, that when you call upon the name of Jesus, you are saved. Your hope is secure. Not the hope in cures, not the hope in a vaccine or an antiviral, not in the hopes that you won't get sick, but your hope is in Jesus that brings your soul eternal life. And again, that's the second thing that we learn from COVID-19, that ultimately our hope is in Christ Jesus. And I think the last thing that we can learn from COVID-19 is how much we need to be the church, right? That this pandemic, this epidemic, depending on where parts of you're looking at here, this pandemic, as the World Health Organization has classified it now, this is not the first time that the church has experienced a pandemic. In 249 to 262 AD, the Roman Empire was struck with what they called the Plague of Cyprian, if I've said that correctly. At its peak, it took 5,000 lives per day. Again, at its peak, it took 5,000 people to the grave per day. And historians were able to document the responses of two different groups. This historian, he documented how Roman citizens responded, and then he also documented how Christians responded. So the first one, let's look at what he said about Roman citizens. Let's look at how he said the non-Christians responded. He writes for us and he says, at the first onset of the disease, they pushed the sufferers away and fled from their dearest, throwing them into the roads before they were dead and treating unburied corpses as dirt. Again, these Roman citizens were so concerned, were so fearful that they sacrificed, they let their own family die just to save themselves. And those who had died, they just left in the street to pile up as if it was dirt out of fear. But then on the other hand, you have what he writes on the Christian response of how Christians responded to this plague. And he writes here, heedless of the dangers, they took charge at the sick, attending to every need and ministering to them in Christ. And with them departed this life serenely happy, for they were infected by others with the disease, drawing on themselves the sickness of their neighbors and cheerfully accepting their pains. See, the early church went forth and helped anyone and everyone, even to the point where they themselves became infected with the plague. And in getting that plague, they served joyfully, knowing that they can now better relate to those that they were helping. Because of their love, because of their actions, the church grew in numbers around the world. And even in response to this, in 362 AD, Emperor Julian Caesar, in response to this Christian growth, he invested money to promote the Roman gods. And he wrote a letter to one of his religious officials telling them that they need to be more like Christians. This is his 22nd letter. You can Google this on Wikipedia. You can read his letter. He writes here in it that, for it is disgraceful that when no Jew ever has to beg, and the impious Galileans, those are Christians, support not only their own poor, but ours as well, all men see that our people lack aid from us. Again, he is writing here that their citizens who are in need are receiving help from Christians, not from the Roman government, not from the Roman religions. And he's investing money that they would go out and do this, and they are not. And he is telling them that they need to be more like these Christians who are helping everyone, not just their own people, but their people as well, their Roman citizens. You see, the early church responded to this pandemic with love. Even as they were persecuted by the Roman government in the past, their response was to act not only in fear for themselves, not only in chaos and panic, but they thought of others first. They embraced the words of what Jesus reminds us in John 13:35, that by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So again, this flashback to the early church, I think, reminds us that even in this time of COVID-19, the church is called to love people. So to kind of give you something to take away, and how you can do this, how can I love people right now? Because we are stuck at this stay-at-home order, we are trying to social distance each other, so how can I love those around us? So the first thing that I'd say that you can do is to pray. Right, and specifically, I would say to pray for your neighborhoods, and even more specifically, do prayer walks in your neighborhood. Again, as of it stands right now, March 29th, we're at a stay-at-home order, but it does allow us to go outside and to exercise. So if you can do so safely, if you can do so while, again, still maintaining social distance from one another, walk around your neighborhood. And as you walk around your neighborhood, stop at different houses and pray for those houses. Pray that God would watch over them and try to keep them safe. That pray that God would not only be known within that house, but he would be known within your neighborhood. Pray that God would grow that house that you're praying for to be disciple-making Christians, to be people who are for God and for Jesus. And if people stop you and ask what you're doing, let them know that you're praying for them and ask if there's any specific prayer request that you can offer to them. Now, in the verses that I read through just a while ago in Romans, I wish I could take credit for organizing it that way, but I can't. I didn't do that. Those verses are part of something that somebody created called the Romans Road. And if you need to go back and you need to rewatch that section, copy down those verses, memorize those verses, because when people come to you and ask you what it is that you're doing, why it is that you're doing it, you can walk them through those five verses to clearly illustrate to them and to clearly tell them that this is what it means for us to be Christians, for us to practice what it is that Christ is doing in our lives and how they can do the same thing. That we recognize that we are all sinners and that the penalty for that sin is death. But even though we're sinners, Christ died for us and saved us. And the way that you can be part of that is that you can confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he rose from the dead. For anyone who calls upon his name will be saved. That is an open invitation to anyone and to everyone that you encounter who asks you, what does it mean to be a Christian? The second thing you can do is to give graciously. Right now, some people who are affected the most by everything that's happening with COVID-19 are the homeless and the less fortunate. There are lots of different organizations that you can give to, but three faith-based ones that we would recommend here are Mission Centers of Houston, Star of Hope, and Compassion International. You can find all the donation links in the description below in this video, and if you can, give graciously to support these organizations. Because while we may not be able to leave and go out and volunteer and do what we want to do, we can still show Christ's love from our homes right now financially by supporting those who are out there, by supporting those who are on the front lines doing what needs to be done. Whether here in Houston or across the globe, we can give and support people who are trying to promote the love of Christ to those who are in need. So again, while we are social distancing, while we may not be able to do everything that we want to do, while we may be trying to keep our distance and isolate ourselves from everything that's going on around us, the one person that you shouldn't social distance from, the one person that you should never try to isolate yourself from is Jesus. COVID-19 has been this reminder for us in the church, but it has also been a wake-up call to the rest of the world that the world is watching and looking to see what the church will do. It is waking us up to realize that we need to take action. Most of us, we use an alarm clock to wake up, right? We don't naturally just wake up at the perfect time to get ready for work or to get ready for school. And oddly enough, a recent study shows that nearly 50% of Americans hit the snooze button at least once. Again, God is sending us this wake-up call. He is sending us this alarm, and the last thing that you want to do is to hit the snooze button. Again, if you are in your first time joining us in this live stream, or if this is your first time hearing about who Jesus is and how he died on the cross for all of our sins, then just where you are right now, you can pause this video and pray and accept Jesus into your heart and be saved. Be saved not just from COVID-19, but be saved in your soul. Or if you're on the fence, again, you just don't know, or you're just not sure, you still have questions, you're not completely all in, then just open your heart and give Christ a chance. I said it last week, and I'll still say this is one of the best ways that you can do it, is just read with an open heart the Gospel of John and just see how God speaks to you. And then when we can gather in person, or if you just want to email us here and just find out more questions, we'd love to connect with you and to walk with you and to show you how Christ can be the savior of your life. And for those of you who are in the church now, that you are Christ followers and believers, then again, let COVID-19 awaken you to show what it means to be a follower of Jesus. That you can let people everywhere know about who Jesus is by the way that you love others. Again, don't let Jesus be only on your lips, but let Jesus be in every action that you take. For again, as it reads in John 13, 35, for by his love, people will know that you are his disciples. By your actions, by the way that you love others, people will know who you believe in, who you worship, and that person that you worship, that you love, is Jesus. So let me pray for us. Father, again, we thank you for this time. We thank you for just continuing to be grace, for continuing to be the God who saves, the God who rescues us. Would you continue to allow us to glorify you in all that we do? Would you continue to allow us to seek after you and to learn who it is that you are? God, would you continue to reveal yourself to us? Would you continue to open up our hearts and soften our hearts to allow us to receive your word, to receive your Holy Spirit? And Father, again, if we are part of your church, if we have you, would you continue to encourage us to take steps of faith? To take steps in ways that normal people wouldn't want to. And the only reason we take those steps are because we are trying to love the people that you have placed into our lives. So again, God, would you continue to guide us through this epidemic, through this pandemic of COVID-19? And would you continue to allow us to show your love in every place that we've been given? So God, we praise you. We do these and do all of this in your Son Jesus' holy name. Amen.